Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio listeners. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.
The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of November 2016. October has come and gone. What a busy month for myself, but thankfully it was a very happy Halloween for me and my family, and I hope it was a wonderful one for yours. As we know, this time of year, it's just really the segue to Christmas for a lot of us. But those of us in the paranormal truly do enjoy the month of October, because for one month a year, I'm not just some weird guy. I'm actually kind of cool to know. So I hope you guys had a very safe and happy and healthy Halloween. Of course, this month brought many, many things for me, and even began, the festivities began before Halloween hit. Started off, of course, I was a guest on my good friend Mike Barrington's and my friend Colin, of course, their podcast, The Mike Spot, which is a little bit of a local variety show, if you ask me. They do tend to lean towards having former wrestlers, but, you know, they have other people on it as well. They talk a little tiny bit of local wrestling, and they also talk a little tiny bit about current events and stuff, so it was great fun to kind of chat with them, and I actually had a lot of fun. So you guys can check out their podcast. Of course, Mike should be no stranger to you guys, because he's the one who does all my commercials for the book, Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. So there you go. You guys have actually known Mike and heard from him every single time you listen to my podcast. Love you guys. Thanks for having me on. And then, of course, the October 1st came, and I dropped the last podcast, which was Open Mic Ghost Stories, and that got a lot of positive reviews. A lot of people really enjoyed that. So, guys, it warms my heart to know you guys really enjoyed that, because a lot of work went into editing that particular podcast. It was probably the most work I ever had to put into an hour-long episode. Man, oh, man. You would not believe the amount of editing, but that's what happens when you're live. You record things live. They don't come out as squeaky clean as you kind of want them to. But that's okay. I was all about it. I had a great time, and so did everybody else who was involved the day of, which was Sci-Fi and the Rock, of course, last year. Sci-Fi and the Rock number 10. And please, God, I'll be able to make it to Sci-Fi and the Rock number 11 this year. Big shout-out, of course, to Steve Lake and his crew over at Sci-Fi and the Rock. Thank you guys so much for letting me put that out there, because you know what? Technically, they could look at me and say, I don't want you guys to put that up as a podcast. It could just be something they want. So there you go. They celebrate everything nerdy and geeky. I am definitely nerdy and geeky, so a big shout out to that crew over there, Sci-Fi the Rock, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to promote you. It is my pleasure to promote you, not the other way around. And I'm sure this year, hopefully, they'll find someone to fill the paranormal void if I can't make it. Okay, let's talk shop. I actually put out 3 episodes in October, the one I just mentioned then, Open Mic Ghost Stories, and also 2 bonus episodes of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. I put out Open Mic Ghost Stories number 1, and then of course I put out You got it. 101 Ghost Hunting Hacks Part 1 and Part 2. If you guys checked out Part 1, be sure to check out Part 2. If you checked out Part 2, be sure to check out Part 1. There you go. 101 Ghost Hunting Hacks. I actually had nothing but positive reviews from people. I couldn't believe it. I expected to be torn apart by the ghost hunting field, as they told me, you know, just crazy ego stuff. But you know what? It never happened. And I think I know why. I think it's because I spoke from the heart, and everything I said in there is just so true. It really is. So if you guys haven't had a chance to really enjoy that podcast or podcasts, check them out. October really was a break in format for me. There was no paranormal news. We didn't get to hear from my friend Laura. Of course, that didn't keep us apart, though. Laura actually had me as a guest. Get this. I got to speak at a MUFON meeting there a week before my ghost hunts. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but that was actually really cool. I walked into a room. 9 out of 10 people there were skeptical. But I mean, that's part of this. And by the end of it, we were talking about parallel dimensions, and we were just having a great time. So I really do appreciate that, Laura. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. And of course, we'll hear from Laura a little later in the show with a little bit longer edition of the MUFON Minute. Laura is no stranger to you, of course. She does the MUFON Minute every single show. So it's nice to have met her once again in person and had a little bit of fun. That was really cool. Wow. I had a chance to go visit Hits FM. Yeah, shout out to guys and gals over there. They had me on the 3rd of October. I actually went in there as part of their little thing they had going on. Apparently, they had some spirit activity going on inside their recording studio, and they kind of linked it to a Ouija board. Now, of course, me, I'm a very open non-believer in the Ouija board, but at the same time, I do know that anything can be used to speak with the other side, so I will not shut myself down to the idea. I just think there's a lot of people out there who are watching too many movies. But just throwing this out there, thank you so much, Hits FM, for having me on, helping me promote my book, and helping me promote the things I love to do. I am not a ghost storyteller. That's not what I do. I am a paranormal investigator. I'm also a paranormal podcaster. I'm more about your stories, so to speak. I want to be the medium from which people speak from the heart about their own paranormal activity. So thank you so much for letting me come on their Hits and get that point across. It's awesome to be the resident paranormal investigator here in Newfoundland. And I think the word's getting out about what I do. I mean, how can it not? That's not all we did this October. You got it. Life Out of Death Society was at Admiralty House Communication Museum once again. We did the same thing last year, where we actually had open ghost hunts, 3 back-to-back ghost hunts of the location. Of course, I'm writing my next book, Ghosts of Admiralty House, about this location. And what can I say? I was kind of rotted, actually, and I'll tell you why. Because get this, I had investigated Admiralty House 4 times since the last time we did this charity event, and I had so very little on my microphones and stuff when I was there by myself. Well, this time I went and I went with the group hunt, and what can I say? We got a bunch of stuff, so we got really, really lucky. I'm kind of rotted that it wasn't me, but I'm so happy to have shared that experience with the people who showed up, who genuinely had a good time. So close to Halloween, going ghost hunting, it's just a tradition that I love, and Admiralty House is more than accommodating to me. They love me, and I love them. There's no better place I could possibly be. I do know, though, that time is going to be coming to close the case file at Admiralty House pretty soon. I'm going to do one more investigation there, and that'll be that. And we even had a live reveal there a few days ago on the 30th. And the 30th was really fun, too, because they got to come back and actually hear some of the weird stuff they caught, which is really awesome. So, guys, keep an eye out to the Life Out of Death Society Facebook page. Eventually, I'm sure I'll have a video up for all that was captured. And, you know, if you missed the event or whatever like that, you can kind of check it out and be a part of it, right? Because you know what? It's coming, you know, it's becoming more and more obvious that I don't do this stuff for, you know, myself or for money or anything like that. I really do it for other people and to give them that experience. So there you have it. And if that wasn't all, you think I had enough? No. Friday night, I get a call from my old friend, Jim Mallard of the Mallard Report, and he has me on his live stream. He called me up out of nowhere. You know, Jim's an old dear friend of mine. I've had him on the podcast a little over a year ago. Just a great mentor and friend. And I love talking with Jim because I don't even feel like I'm being interviewed. So there you have it. Guys, don't forget to check out the fastest hour in Paranormal Talk Radio, baby. It's out there every Tuesday night. So check him out. He's online. He's everywhere. If you can't find the Mallard Report, you're just not looking. And I thank you, Jim, for letting me be on your live stream. That was a lot of fun. We had a very interesting conversation about how tired we both were. I know that doesn't sound very interesting, but When I actually called Jim out on the whole ghost box thing and how I'm a believer and he's not, that was really interesting because I think that, I don't know, more and more people are starting to use the spirit box and get behind it. And I think what's after happening is that now that the paranormal TV shows are not as popular as they used to be, people are kind of out doing this on their own and realizing, wow, this can really, you know, it really works. So there you go. I was happy to kind of get that point across. So check that out. Guys, I just spent the last 6 minutes telling you all the crazy stuff I did in October. Oh my God, I'm all paranormaled out, you would think, right? But I'm not. I had a great time and I got just enough energy in me to give you guys another great paranormal show. I hope you guys had a great Halloween, but it's time to get back to our original format, which means it's time for us to get it on with the Odd the Newfoundland paranormal news. Our first story might leave you a little cold, icy cold, so to speak, because there's been an ice monster filmed in the Alaska's Chena River. There's video footage of a strange snake-like creature covered in ice and has recently gone viral on social media. The peculiar spectacle was spotted by Craig McCaw from the Bureau of Land Management, or BLM for short, while he was out taking pictures of the Chena River to help start seasonal landscape changes. "I don't know what I've done, if I'd come by it in a canoe or something," he said, "but looking from it above on the University Avenue Bridge, I don't feel threatened." The creature, which was around 15 feet long, remained semi-submerged in the freezing river throughout the encounter and appeared to have a surprising amount of ice on its back. McCaw uploaded the footage on the Bureau's Facebook page on Tuesday and it went viral soon afterwards, shocking up tens of thousands of views within a short space of time. "I initially thought, and several people thought, it could be some rope that snagged on the bottom of the river with chunks of ice attached to it. But other people have mentioned everything from sea monster to giant sturgeon, and it's kind of fun to speculate. It's a really strange video." And you guys can check that out on YouTube, of course. Just look up Ice Monster Appears in Alaska, and it'll pop up. And let me tell you, it is pretty weird looking. What can I say? You never know. You never know what you're going to find out there, right? I mean, I look at the world around us right now. I think there's less possibility for there to be, you know, land monsters as opposed to sea monsters, because most of the oceans are really unexplored. And we don't really know what's going on down there. And we're just constantly, constantly discovering new species. So who knows? Maybe this isn't just a gigantic piece of rope with ice attached to it. Maybe just some type of river monster that we've never ever seen before. Let's hope. I wonder how many people went as E.T. for Halloween this year. Well, perhaps he called home. But could it be that we're actually receiving messages from outer space? Color flashing stars could be evidence of extraterrestrial life. Two Canadian astronomers have found possible signs that an alien civilization is trying to communicate. In a recent study, Mr. F. Bora and Eric Trottier discovered that 234 stars out of the 2.5 million captured by the Sloan Digital Sky Survey appeared to exhibit signs of abnormal spectral modulation. What the pair found most interesting about these tiny rapid changes in color was the fact that they seemed to be occurring in a repeating pattern that was identical across several of the stars. Their paper speculated that these anomalous color changes could have been intelligent in source. "We find that the detected signals have exactly the same shape of an ETI signal predicted in the previous publication and are therefore in agreement with this hypothesis," they wrote. "The fact that they are only found in a small fraction of stars within a narrow spectral range centered in their spectral type of the sun is also agreement to the ETI hypothesis. Not everyone, however, is convinced that the phenomenon has anything to do with aliens. The researchers claim to see the same tiny pattern appearing in hundreds of stars, which is more likely to be the same mistake in their analysis, not a sign that all aliens are communicating the same way," said astrophysicist Dr. Alan Duffy of Swinburne University. "A detection of alien life would be so extraordinary that to claim it requires extraordinary evidence and several teams on telescopes also to confirm so. This work doesn't even come close to being able to make that claim. Everything's still up for debate." So there you go. That's an interesting way of communicating, but, you know, you got to understand just how vast space is to really truly grasp. There's no doubt in my heart that out there there's life. How can you possibly deny the existence of life when, number one, we exist, therefore it must be possible elsewhere? And also, here's the really big one that I love. There are literally, you can't even count how many stars there are. You can't count. One of them's got to have something on it, right? Perhaps it's not such a far stretch to think that these beings could communicate with us. Seems to me like this is the equivalent of somebody shining a flashlight and blinking it on and off just to grab your attention. Something to think about. Okay, so let's move on to our next story. Oh boy, we get to say that my favorite word again. Jesus, here it comes. Yeah, Jesus' burial slab uncovered in Jerusalem. This was big news. It came out on Friday, October 28th. It was all over the internet. The marble that encased the stone slab has been removed for the first time in almost five centuries. Visitors enter the edicule to visit this burial bed, which claims to be the burial site of Jesus. Believed to be the burial bed on which Christ's bed was laid following his crucifixion, the stone shelf itself is situated in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem and is enclosed within a structure known as the edicule, which was constructed in 1808 after the previous one was destroyed in a horrendous fire. The last time the slab's marble casing has been lifted up all the way back in 1555. That's a long time ago. The lifting of the slab, which is being undertaken as part of a restoration work within the church, is being filmed as part of a new National Geographic documentary. "We are at the critical moment of rehabilitating the edicule," said Chief Scientific Supervisor Antonia Maripolo for the National Technical University of Athens. "The techniques we're using to document this unique monument will enable the world to study our findings as if they themselves were in the tomb of Jesus Christ." Such an amazing thing to be able to do. So many people are up in arms about this. They don't want this site to be removed. But, you know, let's be honest with ourselves. We got to restore things, especially anything that might be destroyed by fire, because we might end up losing what's inside. So, you know what? More power to them. I can't wait to watch that documentary. Shout out to National Geographic, or, you know, it was all us trendy people that they call them Nat Geo. Yeah. And thank you so much for being a part of my childhood and many, many, many bathroom sitting adventures. I know Halloween's over, but you still got a little bit of room for a good scare, hey? Well, how about a ghost caught on camera, and specifically some poltergeist activity? CCTV footage recorded in a pub in England, which appears to show objects being moved around by an unseen force. The Chapel House pub on Ruiton Street in Dudley is no stranger to paranormal occurrences. Manager Katie Round and her fiancé Ben Parks have already experienced several unexplained incidents, despite having only taken over the pub around 9 weeks ago. Last Friday, a glass on a shelf above the bar propelled off and hit me hard in the chest, said Ben. Sometimes you can hear footsteps coming upstairs, but then they just stop. The couple's most intriguing encounter to date, however, centers around CCTV footage that was recorded while they were cleaning up one evening. "I was cleaning up at the end of the night and heard something in the kitchen. I went to look and couldn't see anything, so I thought it was my other half pulling my leg," said Katie. When they later reviewed the CCTV footage, however, they noticed that a wet floor A-board sign had moved and fallen down all on its own. The video also showed the moment when Ben was startled by a mop which had fallen down without warning after being propped up against a wall. "He jumped out of his skin," said Katie. "When we looked at the footage later, we couldn't believe it." And once again, that footage is available. Look up on YouTube, Ghost Terrify Staff at Dudley Pub. Really interesting stuff, kind of creepy, and, you know, I always said this, if there really is poltergeist activity, I don't think it's very strong. Like, you see in the movies, like, whole cars being lifted up, let's be honest with ourselves, I would think it might be little things like slippery and wet signs being pushed over and maps falling down. That would probably be a little tiny bit more, well, shall we say, believable. Check out the video, it's great fun. Ghost terrifies the staff at Dudley Pub, you know, if you find that stuff kind of fun. All right, now here's something we definitely know was real because we got pictures of it. A huge 14-pound lobster was actually caught off the Bermuda coast. The gigantic crustacean was caught just one day after Hurricane Nicole swept throughout the area, and people think it might be the cause. Fisherman Matthew Jones and Tristan Locher had been fishing off the coast of Bermuda when one of their catches managed to get tangled up in the mooring line of a nearby boat. When Lochner swam out to untangle it, however, he found something that neither of them had ever expected to see, a gigantic 14-pound lobster, which is just about the size of the fisherman. The massive lobster weighed 14 pounds and was almost as big as the men themselves. "Most of the time, a 10-pound is the biggest anyone will typically see in their lifetime," said Jones. "Each leg measured 2 feet, but I do believe they get much bigger." Oh, that just creeps me out. While the pair contemplated donating the specimen to a local aquarium, they ultimately decided to release it back into the water. "It was one of the biggest lobsters we've ever seen," said Jones. "It's not typically caught that way, so we decided to let it go." Wow. Now, see, I would have kept that thing, for sure. I would have kept that and gave it to a local aquarium because it's such a cool specimen. You got to see pictures of this, man. This makes this guy look tiny. It's a massive lobster. It's definitely weird and wonderful. I love nature stuff. There's no doubt about that, especially when there's pictures. So great job, Mr. Jones, for capturing your crazy lobster. And let's hope that it continues to scare the hell out of everybody who comes across it now that it's back at the bottom of the ocean. P.S. Do not want to go swimming in Bermuda anytime soon. I love a good animal story, but I don't like a bad animal story. And unfortunately, we did get some bad news on the 28th of October that 58% of wildlife has officially been wiped out over the last 40 years on the planet. If things don't change soon, the ongoing decline is likely to reach 2/3 by the end of the decade. The disturbing statistic was reported via a global biological diversity assessment conducted every 2 years by the World Wildlife Fund, or WWF, the most people know it as. Now, that's not WWF, the guys you know who are, who just had their Hell in a Cell, which was a great fun pay-per-view, by the way. This is actually, you know, WWF World Wildlife Fund, okay? The study determined the animals living in lakes, rivers, and wetlands were suffering the biggest losses, mostly due to pollution, habitat loss, and climate change. It's pretty clear under business as usual we will see continued declines in these wildlife populations, said Dr. Mike Barrett, head of science and policy at the WWF. But I think now we've reached a point where there isn't really any excuse to let this carry on. We know what the causes are, and we know the scale of the impact that humans are having on nature and on wildlife populations. It really is now down to us to act. You know, when I see that that statistic, 58%, 58% of wildlife is gone in 40 years, that just blows my mind. What's going to be left? What's going to be left when I'm 80? Well, nothing. There's going to be nothing left. You know, there's not much for our kids to look forward to, so let's hope that people get off their tuchuses and start helping out. And I think this has a lot to do with, you know, emissions and stuff like that, but I'm not going to get into that. It's too political for this podcast. I will say this, though. Every little thing we do is a help. Every little thing we do is a help when it comes to our fine, furry, feathered, four-legged, swimming in the ocean friends. You know, maybe not throwing our garbage out into the street. Maybe doing our part to do a little bit of recycling. Maybe buying green stuff, you know? We could all make a little difference. I think if we all pitched in, we could help. Don't you? Honestly. Well, I'll tell you who's not going to help. I'll tell you right away who's not going to help. I'm not going to be able to help you catch this boat. Because apparently there's a ghost ship, and the illusion appears on Lake Superior. And this story, as soon as it came up, I was like, oh my God, I absolutely had to check it out. It was so cool. So, hey, I'm going to end with this story here tonight for the Paranormal News. An intriguing optical illusion has been caught on camera from the shores of North America's largest lake. Recorded by Jason Aslan off the coast of Marquette, Michigan, the video shows a mysterious semi-translucent shape on the horizon, which appears far too tall to be a sailing ship. Saturday evening, far off the coast from Marquette, Michigan, appeared this mysterious ship that had to be gigantic, he wrote, almost as if a ghost ship was showing itself to the world. Even if it was a ship, what could be all that those choppy waves and weirdness around it? Some internet users have suggested the object could be the Granite Island Lighthouse, which does have several tall structures. However, it is unclear whether the location matches up. Uploaded two days ago, the footage has already been viewed more than 400,000 times. Guys, this is one of the weirdest things. Like, you gotta check this out. If this is a lighthouse and stuff like that, that'd be really cool, but because, you know, you debunk it. But honestly, you got to see this picture because it's freaky, man. It looks like a real life ghost ship and it's moving up and down. And you got to go check this out. Really, really cool story. Guys, that's it for the Paranormal News tonight. It's almost time for us to jump into oddities. But first, we're going to check in with our good friend Laura and the MUFON Minute. All these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.
Thanks, John. Welcome. For this month's MUFON Minute, I wanted to take a bit of time to share one of my investigations with you, to our very special listeners. I'm going to talk about case number 75781, and that was classified as an FB1, or a fly-by-one type sighting. On April the 12th, 2016, on a very clear day in paradise, at around 4:30, so this was actually a daytime sighting, our witness was working out in their yard. Used to watching the planes and helicopters move back and forth from the St. John's International Airport, the witness always made sure to keep an eye on the skies. A helicopter was heading towards the airport, and then a dot was noticed very close to the helicopter's trajectory. Worried that it might be a bird that could possibly collide with the helicopter, our fearless witness kept watch. The dot moved steadily westward and was going in a straight line without moving up or down, so not a bird-like motion. and it maintained a very good speed. The witness also observed a plane coming in to land, and the dot was going at least 3 to 4 times the apparent speed of that very plane. Our witness watched it for about 15 to 20 seconds going in a straight line westward, and then it just disappeared right over Bell Island, moving towards Holyrood. The thing to keep in mind, this dot was always below the cloud layer, and it just blinked out, so clouds weren't a factor. Upon reviewing air traffic control records, I could not find anything other than a German military aircraft landing at approximately the same time, but nothing that could really explain this sighting. I also contacted local RNC and RCMP detachments to check to see if there were any reports during the time frame of the sighting. Unfortunately, they did not receive any calls, but assured me that if they did, they definitely would have remembered. Given the evidence and the statements I have collected, I believe that there is validity to this sighting. The strength of the witness and their experiences are compelling. At this time, this reported sighting remains an unknown other, and most definitely unidentified. Another story I'd like to bring to your attention comes from WikiLeaks and the Wall Street Journal. A specific set of emails sent to John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, has been released. In one October 2014 email, Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell had a representative ask John Podesta for a meeting to discuss how zero-point energy from aliens could actually save the planet from global warming. It also said that he intended to return to the moon on a spaceship fueled by zero-point energy at age 100. In another email from Blink-182's guitarist Tom DeLonge, he urged a meeting to be arranged with important people relating to, quote, our sensitive topic. He says, I would like to bring two very important people out to meet you in D.C. I think you will find them very interesting as they were principal leadership relating to our sensitive topic. Both were in charge of most fragile divisions as it relates to classified science and Department of Defense topics. Other words, these are A-level officials, worth their time, and as well as the investment to bring all the way to you. It is unknown if Podesta responded to these emails, but it is well known that he has been quite open about his interest in the topic, as we've discussed on previous episodes. On those crisp and clear fall nights, don't forget to get out there with your cameras and binoculars, and you could see something very special. If you do, don't forget to report it to www.mufon.com. Our MUFON meeting on October 20th was so much fun. There was lots of energy and excitement about this group. We have people of various and very interesting backgrounds. If you are interested, please be sure to join us next time. For more information about MUFON and Newfoundland and Labrador, please be sure to check out Newfoundland UFO Network on Facebook. Thanks, John.
Oh, Laura, no, thank you so much for being on the show again. It's always great to hear from Laura and get our MUFON Minute on. And what can I say? I thought it was really interesting that you had an actual local story from right here in Newfoundland to report. That was really, really fun. Of course, Laura will continue to be on my podcast as long as people enjoy it. I certainly do. Let's dig in. It's time for some oddities.
Thank God. It's time for oddities.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
I want to believe.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
Oddity.
Oddities are 10 strange facts about a very strange world that are completely true. They're odd to Newfoundland, but very, very real. Did you know the average American drinks about 600 sodas a year? Whew, I'm getting diabetes just hearing about that. That's crazy. That's an insane amount of pop. Did you know if you try to suppress a sneeze, you can rupture a blood vessel in your head or neck and die? You think about that next time you're trying to hold that sneeze in, mister. You think about that. You could be putting yourself at risk.
Kazuntite. Did you know when snakes are born with two heads, they fight each other over food? Wow, that's kind of creepy. Have you ever seen a two-headed snake before? It's just really, really strange. Yep. Did you know the average person walks the equivalent of 3 times around the world in a lifetime? Phew. I'd say I walk more than that with my job because I'm in construction, so I'm constantly walking back and forth job sites. I probably got at least 4 or 5 worlds ahead of me already. But I'll say this, that's a really interesting thing to think about because the world seems like it's so vast. You walk the equivalent of 3 times around the world in a lifetime. That's a neat little oddity right there. Strange to think that way. Did you know a shark can detect one part of blood for 1 million, 100 million parts of water? I read that wrong that time, my God. I said 1 million. It was actually 100 million parts of water. That means a little speck of blood can be pretty much just detected or picked up or smelled by a shark underwater. That is definitely one of those oddities I wish I didn't know. Here's another oddity for you. The name Jeep comes from the abbreviation used in the Army for the General Purpose Vehicle, or GP, which kind of sounds like G-peep or Jeep. There you go. Beep, beep. Little car fact for you. Did you know the FDA regulates the allowance of 10 insects and 35 fruit fly eggs per 8 ounces of raisins? You know, I really liked raisins until I read this oddity. God. So that actually means that they are allowed to have 10 insects and 35 fruit fly eggs per 8 ounces? Like they're allowed to have bugs in your food. Yeah, I guess they're completely harmless to digest. Oh, God. You know what? Just stay the hell away from raisins. They're evil. Jellyfish, too. Actually, did you know that jellyfish are only 95% water? Only 95% water. My God. There's hardly anything to them at all. Did you know that you're 1% shorter in the evening than in the morning? Yeah, there you go. You're actually, you know, a little taller. There you go. Shorter in the evening than in the morning. You're a little taller when you first get up. Now, I wonder why that is. Ah, that's interesting. I wonder. Does it have something to do with your spinal cord or not? And tonight's final oddity. It would take over 1,000 years to watch every video on YouTube. Did you know that? I suppose you did. And speaking of YouTube, this is a great time to plug the Life After Death Society. Well, YouTube channel. I got a lot of really awesome ghost hunting videos and stuff on there, guys. You go check it out. It's just look up Life After Death Society. It's a pretty small little thing. I don't spend a whole lot of time on it. I've been thinking about maybe putting my podcast up on there, but I seem to be having a pretty good time just, you know, with the regular, you know, podcast feeders, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, if you want to check out my YouTube page, Life After Death Society, check it out. And I got a lot of my videos that I put together of all the weird EVPs and stuff I've caught across Newfoundland. So if you want to check that out, you're more than welcome. Anyway, I'm out of here. It's almost time for our guest. But first, we got to have a little break. And we'll be right back with Joseph Holmes to talk all about angels. Don't you dare go away.
The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast does not accept donations. In lieu of this, the Stella Burry Foundation is a registered charity established in 2005 to secure financial support for the work of Stella's Circle. Learn more and please give generously at stellaburry.ca. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast. Tonight, my guest, well, he's going to help you love yourself wealthy and teach you all about the power of angels. You know, we think in ourselves every single day, if only we had someone to watch out over us, if only we had someone to look out for us, but maybe all along someone has already been there. Is it possible, is it truly possible that we all have guardian spirits or angels that could help us get what we want in life, but also look at us and keep us kind of safe during the darkest times? Now me, I think of my mother-in-law, and every time we go to a busy shopping center, she decides to say a little prayer to her parking angel, and let me tell you, more often than not, she finds that parking space. It does happen. But Joseph Holmes, who's my guest tonight, has a very, very different take on that, here to teach us all about his book, which is the third installment of his series, Loving Yourself Wealthy, Volume 3, The Power of Angels. Joseph, Mr. Holmes, how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic, John. Thanks for having me.
It's my absolute pleasure. I I must say that, you know, this is November 1st when this podcast drops, so everyone has just been all Halloweened out. It's so nice to talk to someone with a different perspective on the paranormal.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, Joseph, before we dive right in and talk about your book and the power of angels, I'd like for our listeners to actually get to know you just a little tiny bit. So by all means, Joseph, can you please tell us your story?
Well, when I was about 10 years old, I was molested, and then I had subsequent molestations after that. And prior to those molestations, I was very creative. I was writing poetry and prose and short stories and memorizing the whole pages of Shakespeare. But once the molestations occurred, all that shut down. I became very angry, very reclusive. And I was unable to talk about, I told nobody about these until I was in my 40s, so about 30 some years later. And the reason I was able to start opening up was that I had a visitation by Mother Mary, and where she, I was laying on the ground, and she was just bathing me in golden white light. So once that happened, I was able to, you know, tell one or two people about it, but it wasn't until several years later that I had another visitation from Mother Mary, but she brought along Mary Magdalene. And it was both of them that healed me to a certain degree of the molestations, to the point where I could then begin openly talking about them to anybody. Talking about them publicly, writing about them like I have done in my books here. And that's allowed me to heal on a particular level. I still have some healing to go. But just the fact that I'm now able to freely discuss them is extremely important, because I know, you know, they say about one out of every three people are molested. I personally think that's probably more than one out of three. And that's sexually molested. People get physically abused, emotionally abused. So if you count all that in, it's probably more, two out of three, more like two out of three. So I know it's very important now that I come out publicly and talk about these things, because I think it's going to help other people to relate and actually begin their own healings.
Of course, Joseph, and I commend your courage for being able to talk about that with me tonight. Someone who really is a complete stranger to you, I commend your courage on that. I can only imagine there's so many people out there right now who suffer in silence. So I think it's just absolutely brilliant, Joseph, that you come on and start with that. It also gives people an idea, and the idea is that this man, Joseph Holmes, has been through quite a few things. He's been through quite a few changes. Talk to me a little tiny bit about how this helped shape who you are today.
Well, I went through, I had my own business and for about 8 years, my first business. And it led to a nervous breakdown and a bankruptcy. But I want to emphasize to your listeners, John, that if it wasn't for those things happening, you know, at the time they were happening, they seemed quite devastating. But, there's the dark night of the soul, and that was one of my dark nights of the soul. But without that, I don't think the other things could have happened, the spiritual things that happened to me. So looking back at it, I can connect the dots. Like Steve Jobs said in his commencement address, looking back, you can connect the dots. But while you're going through things, it's very hard to connect dots going into the future. So you just got to believe that whatever you're going through, whatever your listeners are going through at the time, at this time or later, or any time in their lives, they just have to know. They have to have the faith that they're being watched over and they're being guided, and it's all for the good.
That's something I think we can all relate to. Everyone I know has had dark times, myself included.
Sure.
And having those guiding lights and being able to recognize them truly is, I believe, part of this journey. Joseph, tell me a little tiny bit about how, shall we say, this may have spun into your Reiki. Because I know I read somewhere that you're into Reiki. So tell me a little tiny bit about that. I mean, that's a healing practice. Am I right?
Right, right. Well, you know, after the nervous breakdown, I was looking for anything and everything almost to, alternative. I've never been into medicine or drugs or, you know, they have their place, things, the modalities to help me. And Reiki was one of them. But what's really helped me, I think, is the writing. I call Mary Magdalene Mother Mary, I call them M and M, but when they first came to me together and did their healing, Mary Magdalene, whom I refer to as Maggie. So if I, in the course of this interview, John, if I say Mary, I'm referring to Mother Mary. If I say Maggie, I'm referring to Mary Magdalene. But Mary Magdalene kept up a relationship with me, you know, over the next few years after that healing. And then in December, of 2013, she woke me up at about 2 a.m. And she just started sending me these four stanza poems, which we now call love notes for your soul. And and every night since then, she just wakes me up and out they come. And, you know, some mornings I wake up and I don't want to get out of bed. She doesn't have anything to say. But, you know, I go and sit at my desk and sure enough, they come out. But one thing I want to emphasize to your listeners, John, is doubt, fear and doubt. You know, we have two choices every day. We can choose to do things out of fear and doubt, or we can choose to do things out of love, and that's what I call love yourself wealthy. And most of us, I believe, make choices out of fear because we're just conditioned to do that. And what I want to emphasize is, you know, even when these things happen to me with Eminem, even when these things happen to me, they were so vivid. You know, in December, Maggie started sending the love notes through me. And just prior to doing that, she asked me, she said, do you mind if I call you Joseph? That's my middle name. And no one's ever called me that. I said, well, sure. It's okay. I said, but can I call you Maggie? And I said, I know Maggie's not a nickname from Magdalena, but I just always loved that name. And she said, sure, you can call me Maggie. So this is in December, right? So in about March, I started having doubts. And this is what I want to emphasize. Your ego is always going to cause you to have doubts, no matter how many times you have these spiritual experiences. And so along comes March and I'm having doubts. You know, are these really coming from Mary Magdalene? You know, am I just fooling myself? I mean, come on. So one morning I asked her, I said, I want a burning bush, you know, not something, you know, that may be, but I want a burning bush, something that's irrefutable to tell me that these are really coming from you. Well, you know, a day went by, a week went by, nothing happened. So I kind of forgot about it, but the love notes kept coming through. And then in about July of that same year, she said, I want you to publish these. So I'm thinking, publish these? Well, okay, I better get some testimonials, have some people, you know, have people read them and get some feedback on them. And so I was looking through this website that has hundreds, if not thousands, of people who just do different services. You know, they might do a web page workup for you, or do edit some video for you, whatever. But I'm a visual person, so I was just going through really quickly, looking at the pictures of these people, and then this one person caught my eye, the picture of her, and her name was Angelina, no last name, just Angelina. So I thought, well, okay, let me contact her. So I emailed her, asked her if she would read some of these, and I said, I'll pay you for your time for reading them, If you like them, if you would give me a testimonial, great. If you don't like them, that's fine too. I'm not going to pay you for the testimonial. I'll pay you for your time to read them. And she wrote back and she said, well, I really don't do that. That's not my thing. So we kind of went back and forth for a few days. And finally she said, okay, send me some. Now I didn't. I sent her a sampling of the poems, but no history, nothing about Murray. Matt, I didn't tell her this when I originally asked her. So when I sent her the samplings, I sent a history of them that talked about Mary Magdalene and Maggie. So the next day she writes back, John, and she says, Joseph, I have something to tell you. I mean, I remember the words. So I wrote back, I said, what is this? She says, everybody knows me as Angelina. But my middle name is Magdalena. Now look, she says, and when I was a teenager, everybody called me Angelina, but my friends called me Maggie. I said, now, because I wanted to confirm this, I said, now wait a minute. Maggie's not a common nickname for Magdalena. Why would your friends call you Maggie? And she said, you're right, it's not a nickname for Magdalena. But one of my friends called me Maggie. I liked it. So only my close friends would call me Maggie. Well, I'm thinking, my God, this, and I had forgotten about it. You know, I said, this is an angel from Maggie. And then I looked back at her name and it's Angelina, Angel Ina. So now about a month went by. I guess she got more comfortable with me, and she writes me again. She says, I got to tell you something else. She said, everybody calls me Angelina today. That's because my father wanted to name me Angelina, but my mother wanted to name me Maria. And my birth certificate says Mary Magdalene. And she said, no, you're not going to believe me. So she sent me a copy of her passport, and it is Mary Magdalene and then her last name. And her friends called her Maggie. I mean, not in a million years could that have happened. You know, of the thousands of people I could have chosen, I chose one person and I chose her, knew nothing about her. So that was my burning bush. But what I wanted to emphasize is doubt. You know, when people say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. You just have to start. You know, Teddy Roosevelt said, just do what you can from where you are with what you have, right? Just start doing. But once you start doing, your purpose will come to you. But once you start doing, doubt's going to set in because the ego always wants to keep control. And people say, well, what do you do with the ego? So, well, you befriend it. You know, you don't fight it, because if you fight with your ego, you're always going to lose. So you befriend it. And the way you do that, John, is when the ego comes in with a doubt, or, you know, wants you to make a decision based on fear rather than loving yourself, then all you do is you just say, thank you for reminding me to love myself. Or thank you for reminding me to put my focus back on Source or God or whatever you want to call it. And so that's how you use the ego, make it your friend. You know, whenever it comes up, you just thank you. Thank you for reminding me. And then you go back and focus where you're supposed to focus, or make your decisions based on love rather than fear. So though, to answer your earlier question, that's what all this has taught me to do. It's to understand the play of ego. That ego is always going to be with you, and to befriend it, make it your friend, and to not beat yourself up when you make some decisions based out of fear, you know, because we're human, right? And so, but catch yourself eventually, you know, might be right away, or it might be half a day later, it might be a week later. Just catch yourself and say, thank you, ego, for reminding me to get back on loving myself, you know. And make the journey fun, rather than thinking that you're not being successful or whatever. You know, Henry David Thoreau, you know, back at Walden Pond in 1842, he said, walk confidently in the direction of your dreams. That's all he said, just walk confidently, with faith, in other words, and endeavor to live the life that you have imagined. Now, he didn't say live the life, he said endeavor, try to live the life that you can imagine. And then a success, unexpected and common hours, will be yours. So that's all we can do. Just get on what I call your road to Rome. You know, Rome is being your purpose. And just get on your road to Rome. Start walking it with faith, knowing that you're being watched over, and using an eagle as your friend, and just keep going.
Joseph, that's it's interesting that you mentioned befriending the ego. I had another friend on my podcast quite a few months ago, and we talked about the law of attraction, which is, to me, one of the most paranormal things you could talk about, because it seems to work for everyone who comes across it. But what I'll say is that Patricia LeBlanc, word for word, said exactly what you said. Patricia said, you've got to say, thanks for reminding me, I'm going on with my day. And that's a very interesting thing.
Now, isn't that interesting? Because I don't know this person; she doesn't know me.
Yeah.
Yet we're independently coming to these conclusions, and you know. So, and that's because she listens to her angels, I'm sure, as I do, and they all have the same answer, I think, you know.
So, Joseph, we all want to hear the happy ending, so to speak, from the depths of despair to now. What changes in your life have occurred as a person? You know, you mentioned a mental breakdown. You mentioned you kind of soared from that. Where are you to right now? What are some of your successes because of this thought pattern, this idea that being positive is the way to go and that angels are looking out for you?
Well, you know, I opened up, you know, I'm the founder and the Grand Master of Kinshinkan Karate. I, after the nervous breakdown, I opened up a school for mainly kids. And so that was very successful, and to a point. And then, you know, I got, you know, I kind of go in 7-year cycles. And after about 7 years, you know, it wasn't fun anymore. So I kind of just let that go by the wayside. And now I'm... I've written this, I just finished my 9th book.
Wow.
So that's what I'm doing now, just writing and publishing and doing interviews and having fun.
Joseph, just blows me away when you said 9th book. I'm here writing my 2nd one right now, and it's been years doing that, and you're here talking about a 9th book, and I'm just like, whoa.
Well, how much work goes? That's because I have Maggie with me, I think. And every morning, John, you know, I get up around 2 or 3, and sometimes maybe, you know, 1 or 2 love notes would come through, but then other mornings, you know, I'll be at it for 2 hours and just nonstop. And so I got just stacks and stacks. I write these out in longhand. So I have stacks and stacks of pads full of 50-page pads full of these. And so, you know, I just get them together. She usually suggests the name of the book. And then, you know, I love formatting it, designing the cover, you know, and then getting it out there. So that's what I'm doing now. And
Joseph, do you have any of those messages with you right now you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, I have, this is from the 3rd volume of The Power of Angels. And in fact, on the paperback edition of this, on the back cover, is a picture of Angelina. And let's see. Well, here's one. It's called Loving Detachment. Now, Maggie always starts the love notes out, either my love or my dear, my love. Now, because she's writing these not just for me, but for anybody who comes across them. But she says, my dear, my love. detached from everything, and then sit back and watch the angels bring to you everything your heart can desire. And that, my dear, is enough to inspire. So with each of the love notes, I also put beside it a commentary. And the commentary is, in this love note, Maggie is suggesting that we have goals, but that we should detach from the outcome. If we do so, our angels can freely flow through us, and our dream lives will be delivered to us as if by magic. And I think why that's so, this one is so important. Most of us are in resistance. You know, we wake up in the morning and we're immediately in our heads. You know, well, what happened yesterday? Or what happened? What's going to happen today? Or what am I going to do? And we're totally in our heads. And in a lot of the love notes, she recommends, you know, when you wake up in the morning, just drop into your heart. You know, so instead of being in your head, drop into your heart. And Rod Stewart has a great song. It's The Rhythm of Your Heart. And I listen to it every day. It's a music video. And you can find it on YouTube. Just put Rod Stewart, The Rhythm of Your Heart. And I listen to that every day. Because if you're going to make decisions based out of love and not fear, you got to be listening to the rhythm of your heart, because that's where your angels come through. You know, now some people say, well, it's your gut feeling, it's your intuition, and that's right, right? I mean, you have a gut feeling about something, but it's the gut and the heart are connected, you know. And but most people just, you know, wake up, they're in their head. And I do it to this day. I wake up and I'm usually in my head, but that's the ego. And I, you know, I just say thank you and I drop into my heart. So, you know, don't beat yourself up because you're in your head, you know, or you make a decision out of fear. We're human. That's what we're designed to do. If we weren't, we wouldn't be here. You know, we'd be in another plane. So we're human. So, you know, when it happens, just thank the ego and then drop into the heart. Well, I like to call it the rhythm of the heart. You know, Wayne Dyer has a great phrase. He says, what makes music? Is it the notes or is it the silence between the notes?
Hmm.
You know, and what makes a bass when a potter is making a bass, right? Is it the bass itself or is it the emptiness of the vase, of inside the vase, you know? And so that relates to listening to your heart. For me, it's listening to the silence between the beats, the rhythm, right? It's the silence. And that's what I listen to. And that's where, the angels speak to us through. So that's, the key, I think, is just every day, every moment of each day, we always have two choices. Make the choice based on loving yourself, or make the choice based on fear. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, we're going to make more choices based out of fear, because it's just natural, we're conditioned to do that. But then, you know, each time you do, just catch yourself, thank your ego, and then make a decision based on love. And then after time, you'll eventually be making more decisions based on love. So it's just a process. And what I want to emphasize to your listeners, John, is, you know, just don't beat yourself up. You know, we're human. You know, God, if you could have seen Wayne Dyer's life, he had a lot of issues with substance abuse, and he went through three marriages, you know, because he was human, and he had to learn what he was writing about. And so, you know, once we judge ourselves or judge somebody else, you know, that's resistance. And that just immediately disconnects you from source, you know, any type of resistance, any type of judgment. So just don't judge people, you know. Mother Teresa would say, you know, they said, well, she said, look, if you ask me to go to an anti-war rally, I'm not going. I said, but invite me to a peace rally and I'll go. Now, you and I can sit here and think, well, aren't they the same? Well, yes, their goals are the same, but the wording was so important to her that she would refuse to attend an anti-war rally, you know, but give her a peace rally and she was there, you know. Mm-hmm. So one's making a judgment and the other one is, you know, peace. It's based on love, you know. So, and that's why, you know, she could walk into a war zone. You know, what was she, four feet, 8 inches, I think? She'd walk into a war zone, they'd quit fighting. You know, well, why? Well, it wasn't her physical presence, you know, it was her spirit. And that's because she made decisions based on love and not out of fear, you know.
Very interesting stuff.
When she was in India, she took care of the untouchables, you know. Well, she did that out of love, because one day she walked out of her ashram and she was surrounded by an angry mob who wanted to stone her to death.
Joseph, if there was one thing that people could take away from this podcast concerning angels, okay, if there was one thing that you could tell people, what would it be?
To forsake all dogma and doctrine. Organized religion is all about dogma and doctrine. And I have nothing against organized religion. If you're a Catholic and you're deeply devoted to the church, that's wonderful. But in order to access or allow your angels to come to you, from my experience, now everyone's different, you have to forsake the dogma and the doctrine. Even happened with me when Mary first came to me, you know, it was under certain conditions. So the second time I thought she was going to come to me, it was under different conditions, and my ego was saying, oh no, she's never going to come. It's got to be the way it was originally, right? That was just my own dogma, you know? And then I said, no, wait a minute. You know, I caught myself and said, no, you know, I'm going to do this way. If she's going to come, she's going to come. And sure enough, she came and she brought Mary Magdalene with her. So it was even better than the first time. But, you know, initially my ego said, no, it's got to be this way. Well, that's just let go of the dogma and the doctrine. You know, just let it go. It's resistance. Anita Morjani talks about this in her book, Dying to Be Me. You know, someone asked her, well, how do you get back into that state and that you were in when you were on the operating table dying? And then, you know, she came back and she was healed from stage 4 cancer. And she said, well, the way I do it now is I suspend all dogma and doctrine. I suspend all beliefs and non-beliefs. Everything, she said, just suspend it. Let it go. And allow yourself to be a witness of the divine.
Very, very interesting. One thing I've always held to backtrack on my own story a little tiny bit, I went into paranormal investigating as an atheist. And let me tell you, I'm not leaving as one. And I'll say I'll say this to you. I know a lot of people out there who also know my father's story, which is one of the most spiritual stories you're ever going to hear. And if you had a few moments after we stopped talking, then I'd love to tell you that off air, because they're sick of hearing that story. They've heard it a couple of times by now. But what I will say is this, our time, unfortunately, has just come to a close. I can't believe we just burned through a half hour that fast, Joseph. I really appreciate the time. I'd love to have you back on some other time, perhaps.
Yeah, anytime. I'd love too.
And of course, I just want to plug a few things here for Joseph now, because it's so important that we support our authors here at the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Guys, this is the third book in a series called Love Loving Yourself Wealthy. This is Volume 3, The Power of Angels, is what we're on the topic of tonight. But be sure to check out his books. You can get them at Nook, Amazon, Inkterra, Scribd, Kobo, CreateSpace, and Amazon Kindle. I'm sure his books are elsewhere as well. Is there anything else you'd like to plug as well? I heard you had a special offer for people who listen to you, Joseph. Is that true?
Yes. So if anybody wants to get the Volume 3, The Power of Angels, you can go to josephconfidential.com. And that link will give you a special pricing on that volume. Now, if you go to Love Notes for Your Soul, that will have all my books. But if you go to this special link, josephconfidential.com, that will take you right to the Amazon link that will give you the discount. Now, if you don't have a Kindle for Amazon, I am on those other sites that you mentioned. But I work mainly with Amazon. But if you want to go through Amazon for the special pricing, just download the free Kindle app, and you can read that on just about any device that you have.
Guys, josephconfidential.com to get your discount just for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast faithful out there. Joseph, it's been a very, well, bright interview with you. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. I appreciate it, John.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page. Drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever-popular parajoke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.